Blog Talk Radio.
Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, I'm excited that you have joined me on today and excited about what the Lord is getting ready to do in and through the life of his wonderful people. And I tell you, this is another wonderful day that God has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. I have another wonderful lesson heard to pass safely through our storms and fulfill his will. And truly, many people are going through a storm time and a storm one or another in their life. But you know what? Christ is still yet on board, and he's still yet working it out for your good. And his will is going to be accomplished in and through your life. And so let's take a look at our passage of scripture for today. That's over in Mark chapter 35, verses 41. It said, "And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ship. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awaked him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so our focus verse is going to be taken from verse number 39 out of the chapter 4 of the book of Mark. And it said, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea," various events that occurred in the day-to-day life that he shared with his follower. This lesson deals with one such occurrence, and that parallels the life of a believer, a child of God, and contains spiritual principles essential to a Christian fulfilling God's purpose today. Now, throughout his ministry, Jesus used various examples of nature to emphasize spiritual principles. Most of the time, it was as a spoken illustration of a problem, sometimes even the life trial, sometimes to inscribe permanently down in our spirit that he is truly the way maker, and that he will come and see about his children, and he is the one that will make a way out of no way. And so let's look further at the lesson. In the analogy, the encounter was adversary that was called the storms of life, and it possessed also the potential both to destroy or to enhance the faith of a child of God. It was safe to say that the entirety of the created world serves the ultimate purpose of God, in that it is one vast proving ground by which God can determine the spiritual quality of the heart of a man or woman. This proving state takes place through storms of almost infinite kinds and degree. The way a person reacts to these storms, he would not be able to survive. In a sense, storms can have a certain purging effect, in that they can wash away debris and dead plants. And they also can relate to the fresh, clean air that follows after a storm has passed. Storms can also bring about destruction and misery. Nowhere is this more obvious than in the aftermath of a hurricane or a tornado. One could say that in the process of producing such benefit, a storm first must produce some degree of destruction. Now, certainly following the flood of Noah's day, a storm of global proportion, the entire earth was cleansed and renewed. Although the immediate effect on the earth was dead and death and destruction, the ultimate effect was a new world that bore faint resemblance to the world before the flood. Understanding how floods in the natural sense can be both beneficial as well as destructive, we can readily see that the same event of Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, are a powerful allegory to the life of a child of God who is dedicated to glorifying Jesus Christ. Now let's look on the other side, onto the other side, following Jesus' orders. At Jesus' direction, the disciples set sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They set out to fulfill the command that Jesus had given them. The disciple willingness to obey is an example to the believers today. Our greatest desire should be to do the will of God. Now, to understand the purpose of a storm as they befall the people of God, it is first necessary that we understand the purpose of the church. Now, in Luke chapter 19, verses 10, Jesus told his apostles that his purpose in coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. Since the day of Pentecost, the church of Jesus Christ has been, and it was in consideration of his plan that he charted the course he and his disciples were to follow. Now, things do not happen randomly in the child of God's life. God has a plan for the children, as his children, as they seek to integrate themselves into the overall purpose of the church. Every member of the body of Christ has an individual ministry, a distinctive set of talents and ability that are to be used in enabling the church to fulfill its purpose. Some members have musical ability. Others possess the ability to teach. Still others, God's call to the pulpit ministry. We are not saved to be spectators, but active participants in bringing lost men and women to the truth of the only gospel that saves. The effectiveness of our individual ministry is shaped to a great degree by the storm that we encounter in life. Let's look further. Faith, when all looks well, as the church, the ship, set sail, the sea was calm and the wind was gentle and blowing in the normal direction. Things was going well, and it was easy to believe that things was going according to plan because it all seemed so logical. Faith is easy when things make sense and when things are going the way they should be. However, when things are not making sense, or when things are not going our way, our faith is called into question what we really need. God sees things from a very different perspective than we do. His actions are based on his perception of what is in our best interest. One gospel songwriter penned the words, "When I thought I needed sunshine, the good Lord sent the rain. When I thought I needed healing, I had my share of pain. When I was looking for a mountaintop, but a valley was all I could see, Jesus always seemed to know exactly what I need." These words not only depict the situation as it truly is, but also illuminated the intense need that we have to trust God completely when our situation defies human logic. We must continue to trust God and believe that he's still yet in control of every one of our circumstances and situations. And through the media of the storm of life, our trust in the Lord is anchored even deeper. Now let's look at further the great storm, and that there arose a great storm. Suddenly, without warning and without expectation, a great storm arose. The disciples struggled to prevent their ship from capsizing. What has been a peaceful routine crossing of the sea was transformed into a millstone of possible destruction or even death by drowning. Jesus was still on board, to be sure, but this just made what was happening all the more confusing. After all, we think that things like this are not supposed to happen when Jesus is on board. The disciple probably wonder, why isn't he in control? The storms of life occur with such suddenness that often we are caught off guard, and usually we just as confused as the disciple because we too think that Christ's presence should prevent problems like the list can go on and vary of many difficulties that people face because of they are human. The child of God is no exception, but there is a difference in that the true child of God has the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives to both comfort them and to enable us to survive the storms of life. But what if we don't feel comfortable? We might ask, this is where our faith must endure its greatest test. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That we must rely on the promises of Jesus Christ that he will never leave us or forsake us. And if we were to survive the storms of life, we will like to feel good. And there are many times when we feel very, very good. But feelings are transient and fleeting. And we recognize that we can be up one day and down the next. However, our faith looked further. The disciples were fearful. Now, because of the severity of the storm, the possibility of capsizing, the disciples were clearly afraid. They were wondering if Jesus really cared about their faith. The enemy seek to use the storms that occur in life as a means to discourage us and to influence us against God. But we must resist the temptation to submit to carnal human logic. Now, Satan's goal is to cause believers to become so discouraged. It is imperative that we know beyond a doubt that adversity does not mean abandonment of God. He always will be there. Now, let's look further. Jesus was weary and asleep, but he did care. As a man, Jesus was subject to the same weariness that befall all people. In weariness of the flesh, he went to sleep, but we can be certain that as God, he never tires or never sleeps. Psalms 121:4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the Bible contains innumerable passages that assures us of the continual vigilance of God, his protecting power, and his faithfulness. Though these wonderful promises enable the people of God to rest in the knowledge of his unceasing love and care. Now, God does care about and care nothing, James 1:3-4. Now, Jesus stills the storm. What God desires from each of his children is ultimate trust, no matter how deceptive appearance may be. He has chosen to do so. Jesus Christ has the power to prevent the storm from ever occurring. However, within the plan of God, this particular storm was destined to provide a backdrop for Christ to touch and teach a great threefold lesson, both to the disciple and to all of the church. Let's take a look at it. Number one, Christ has power over all the forces of nature. Number two, he also taught that he was the absolute in control over the most perilous situation. And number three, he is worthy of our trust no matter what the circumstances we may face. And we must always keep those three things in our hearts and our mind when we're finding ourselves in a test or a trial, because he is teaching us something. He's teaching us that he had power over the forces of nature, that he had power, absolute power over the most perilous circumstances, and that he is worthy of our trust no matter what the circumstances we may face. Now let's look further. The wind ceased and the seas became calm. By nature of the same creative force by which God brought into existence the physical world are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye can find rest unto your soul. Now, the reassurance of the Holy Ghost and the truth of the Word of God becomes the foundation of our focus and resolve to press forward relentlessly to accomplish God's will. The disciples needed to have their faith permanently anchored in the promises of God in order to fulfill the monumental task that lay ahead of them. And such as is us, we must continually to permanently anchor our faith in the promises of God. Now, if they were to assault the gates of hell and prevail, they needed to be fortified with certainty and the power to extend far beyond anything that they have known or experienced. This episode served to establish their faith beyond all contradiction. If the church of today can acquire this kind of faith, the possibility of reaping the harvest of soul in these last days will be virtually unlimited. And so keeping our faith and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look further. There was even not only their ships that was there, but let's take a look. There was other ships that was also alongside. Now, the benefit received on that day were not isolated to just the disciples themselves, for there were other ships even in the area as well. And when Jesus became calm when the sea became calm for the disciples, and the other ships also became benefactors of Christ's power. Now, the promise and the power of Jesus Christ extends far beyond the immediate circumstances of a child of God. It spills over into the lives of others of this generation as well. So whatever you've gone through and going through, we want you to know, even through the Word of God, that not only you are going to benefit from them, but also those that are around you are going to be benefactors of what you have gone through, and your faith in God and what God has done for you will affect others, even in your sphere of influence, your neighbors, because they will have seen what God had done for you. Now, let's look. Even though the church is about 2,000 years removed from the day that it was born, its mission remained the same as it was on the day of Pentecost. And because its mission is the same, the availability of God's power and anointing likewise remained the same. And contrary to the thinking of a few, the supernatural anointing of the Holy Ghost has not been withdrawn from the true church of Jesus Christ. But tapping into the power requires the same kind of faith that turned the world upside down in the day of the early church. Now, let's look further. The storms of life. Now, those are as certain as the rising and the setting of the sun. Now, let's look at the storms that come. Now, the storms of life will be incredibly varied in their nature and intensity. Number one, storm causes caused by other people. Some storms occur as a result of the fallen nature of man with his attendant weaknesses, envy, anger, ignorance, hatred, and even prejudice. All these actions often provoke persecution in one form or another, even by many members of the same Christian community. Now, let's look at these self-inflicted storms. Some storms are the results of our own ignorance or folly. We all make mistakes in life that are the results of immaturity, ignorance, or disregard for God's word or his will. Such mistakes produce results that can cause great pain for us and others. Indeed, the follies in which a person dies in their life, they can even become an occasion of greater spiritual growth than would have occurred otherwise. For God has a way of converting our weaknesses into a display of his power and fulfillment of his will. Samson's folly reduced him to the level scarcely above a beast of a burden. But God used Samson's folly as a means to wreak great destruction on his enemies, the Philistines. Judges, you can see Judges, deep insight into love and the mercy of God. Now, it is truly marvelous how God converts human weaknesses and failure into occasions that ultimately give him glory and achieve his purpose. Now let's look at point number three, storms that God sends. Every child of God is unique and have an individual talent of ministry or purpose in God's overall plan for reaching the souls. But a child of God to grow into God's purpose for the essence of life or the consequences of our own follies or whether God sent this storm, the important thing is that what the storm does for us, what we learn from it, how it affects us, and the results of our encounter with adversity. Are we more dependent on the Lord? Do we have a greater faith and greater understanding of his truth? Are we more capable of ministering to others? Is our faith increased and made perfect? How will we interact with others as a result of the storm that we have been through? All these questions are relevant questions as to when we have gone through and when we're in the midst of our storm. These are the things that we learn from when we've gone through our storm. But the final thing is we must recognize that Christ is still yet on board. Regardless of what kind of storm the child of God encounters, whether it's a storm that befalls all mankind or a storm that is unique to the child of God, the truth of God are absolute. Remember these truths and embracing them with the heart are the secret of personal survival and fulfilling the ultimate purpose of God. This is what faith is really all about. Jesus is the master of every situation. Jesus Christ is always on board as we seek to do his will and steer the ship of our life towards the other side. Whether we all reap the reward of eternal life, he is perpetually present in the lives of the child of God and in control of every situation. How are storms to overcome us? When the Apostle Paul endured persecution for the cause of the gospel, Jesus was very much on board throughout all of his suffering. It is probably that all the apostles except John was martyrs for the gospel. Some were subject to terrible torture, including John, but in every situation, Jesus was on board to see them through to the other side. We can be sure that he is faithful to his children today as he was in the early days of his church. It is certainty that he will never leave us or forsake us. He cared for us as no one else could, no matter what our circumstances of life will be. Jesus is ordering our lives. He will see us through. We may or may not have to die for the name of Jesus Christ, but he loves us, and the things that happen to us ultimately fit into the master's plan. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. This is our confidence that we can rest in, no matter how severe the storm may be that we face. In this present world, Jesus Christ is there ordering our life and our steps. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto you. Remember that the storms are not random or indiscriminately occurrence of chance in the life of a child of God. They are part of a complex, intricate plan that God has for us, for his children, to shape and to mold them into the vessel that we will be fruitful for his kingdom. Now, it is indeed Jesus said in John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This purging take place by means of many and various storms of life, and have the effect of removing unfruitful vessels and making fruitful vessels even more fruitful. In Luke 8:12, Jesus spoke of those who will begin to serve the Lord in the time of trial will fall away because they have no root. These times of trials are an analogy to the storms of life come like the fruitful tree described in Psalms 1:1-3. And it said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what heard. And we can walk closer to him by fasting and praying and calling on that wonderful name of Jesus while we're in the midst of the storm, because we're not going to seek the counsel of the ungodly, but we're not going to stand in the way of the sinner, nor we're going to sit in the seat of the scornful. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does we meditate both day and night, because we want to be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And what storm comes in your life? The God of glory, the hope of glory, he's still yet in control of everything. So, child of God, I pray that this has been a blessing unto you. Truly, I always get blessed when I'm able to teach and share the wonderful word of God. And I pray that you'll continue to abound in God and the things of God, and that your life will be edified and you're able to go back out and try again and continue to move forward in the things of the Lord, because he loves you dearly and he's working everything out for your good. Know this without a shadow of a doubt. I'm praying for you that God is going to bless you dearly and keep you and fortify you in a mighty and a special way. Thank you for joining me on today. Remember, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find with a mighty outstretched hand and a wonderful testimony. And so until we meet again, tell somebody, encourage somebody to join us on these wonderful lessons. Let's just fill the whole airway with the blessings of the Lord. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with your friend. Call someone up and give them the number and tell them, call in, tune in, listen in, because their life will tremendously be blessed. And so until we meet again, may the blessing be of the Lord be with you. Bye-bye.